2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see, where are we going here? There we go. We'll wind this part of it up this morning and then kind of prepare to move on to greener pastures. It's just like eating a piece of fried chicken. You want to make sure you get every piece off of that bone. Amen. All the meat, all that good crust that's on there. I want to make sure you get all of that. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there? Say amen. You should be. I gave you long enough. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, if you just want something to study for next week, you study verse 5. Don't just read it and say, okay, I got it. Study it out in the Bible. Look around for things. Look at how the Holy Ghost indwells us and the promises that God made us. Look up that word earnest in the Bible. And you'll see it's in several different places, all right? So you kind of study that out, and we'll get back to that next Sunday, all right? But anyway, we've been talking about the house not made with hands. We've been talking about the temple. Moses built a tabernacle. It was a temporary dwelling place. And if you just look at the materials that they used, it was wood. It was wood and curtains and badger skins over the top of it. It was not built to be permanent. It was built to move around, all right? The temple that Solomon built, that too was brought down. It was made out of stone, okay? Hewn stone. They took the rocks at the quarry and they hewed them out at the quarry. They cut them to size and everything like that because God said, I do not want any iron heard in my temple. Now, I have a little theory about that. I think that relates to the iron kingdom of Daniel chapter 2. That's what I think, okay? Just you ponder that and you shuttle that through the Bible, okay? But anyway, they brought that in. But it was stone, but it was still torn down. It was burnt down, destroyed, and there wasn't anything left. So then, when they come back from Babylonian captivity, they build another one. And they laid the foundation, then they built the house, and then it was ransacked between the time of Malachi and Matthew. And so Herod, when he became king, he wanted it redone. So they had the same temple, but it was remodeled. But it's called Herod's temple, and it took them 46 years. Solomon's temple had pillars that were 23 cubits tall apiece, 46. The boards on the wilderness tabernacle, 46. Remember, we learned that last week. We have 46 chromosomes where our DNA is stored. And I'm going to kind of get into that part of it this morning. I like stuff like this, especially in relation to things that we're seeing going on in our world right now. How many people do you see in the world right now that are changing themselves with, let's say, body enhancements, tattoos, piercings, things like that? They are transforming themselves in, for right now, the only way that they know how to. The science that is coming, and Ian will tell you about this, the science that is coming is going to fundamentally transform what it is to be a human being. I think God saves human beings. I don't think He saves anything else. Okay? Because He said, I do not dwell in temples made with man's hands. I don't dwell there. I don't live there. I won't live there. And I think that has everything to do with defilement of the temple. So here's what I want you to do. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. And I'm going to kind of go through this and explain this, how God did this. Now, keep in mind, Jesus walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago. David walked on this earth 1,000 years before Jesus did. So how old does it make the book of Psalms? 3,000 years old, okay? Do you know that there's not very many ancient manuscripts around the world that are over 3,000 years old. Not very many of them at all. We do find, they find little plates dug up every now and then, little tattered parchments and so on. But for God to preserve His Word for this book right here, the book of Psalms, for 3,000 years, that's just not normally done in this world. God preserves His Word. Can I hear you say amen? Psalm 139, David is clearly speaking of his body. And let me get there here in a minute, and I'll show you that. He says in Let's go to verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He's talking about his physical body. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. Then he said in verse 15, I have a ladybug crawling across my Bible. Isn't that cute? Okay? I don't like to kill ladybugs. I just think they're so cute. Anyway, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, now verse 16, that's the one up on the screen there. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Think about who you are right now. You're not perfect. You're not there yet. You're going to be, but you're not there yet. And he said, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Now I'm going to kind of give you my little spiel on verse 17. It says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Ian, let me ask you, put you on the spot here. The human genetic code, okay, the whole of man's DNA, about how many different connections between the base pairs?
Connections.
Yeah. About how many connecting points? Okay. Okay. How about billions? I think that's the number I read. 3 billion? 3 billion? Okay. Your DNA strand, let's see if I have a picture of it. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Your DNA strand is like two ladders. They're twisted together unless they're going to replicate. Then they're straightened out, okay? And they're joined together by two little compounds. Actually, four together. And as they're joined together, the whole of your DNA is about 3 billion of these connections. Every one of these connections is just sort of like Morse code. Okay, you understand Morse code, right? Dit, 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 dash, 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 dit, 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 that's SOS. Okay? Anybody knows Morse code can understand that, and that's all I know as far as Morse code. Okay? That's all I know. But anyway, every one of those connections is a piece of information. And it means something. It's just like the letters in your Bible. Every one of them are important. Every one of them means something. We don't even know what most of them mean yet. For years, they called most of your DNA junk DNA because they said, well, it doesn't do anything. I disagree. I think it does. I don't know what it does, but I think it does. I think it's important. So anyway, every one of those connecting points, some 3 billion of them, are pieces of information that God said you need to stay alive. That makes sense to everybody. So look at verse 17 again. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. You'll never find in your Bible the number 3 billion or 1 billion. You'll never find it there. We use that number now. Who remembers in the 70s the $6 Million Man TV show? Okay? In 1974, $6 million was an exorbitant amount of money for the government to spend on something. Now, it's just change out of the pocket. That's $6 million are the bribes and the payoffs that happen when the government does some kind of program. Now we're looking at the national debt is $19 trillion. Isn't that what we said yesterday? $19 trillion. We're using numbers now that nobody even really conceived of 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. So when he said, "Great is the sum of them," he means exactly what he was talking about. Some 3 billion connections in my DNA, and let's say between me and John here, there's a notable difference between he and I. We still have 5 fingers on each hand, 5 toes on each foot, hair, nose, eyes, so on and so on. But there is a significant difference. People can tell him apart from me. So not only does God keep the thoughts of me and who I am in every one of those connections, but he keeps John's on record as well. And yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours. And everybody that has ever existed since the beginning of the creation, God has kept track of them, all of the animals, all of the plants, every molecule, every atom. Now it's innumerable. Nobody can count to that number. Amen? This Bible's right. Amen? All right, so here's what it's saying. Since we're talking about a house, since we're talking about a temple, since we're talking about a building not made with hands, Psalm 139 is telling you that your body has a set of instructions on how it's built. It's like blueprints. Anybody in here ever used blueprints, ever looked at blueprints? Sterling, you built a house? The blueprints of this church, I found in my office one day, and they're stored in a cabinet, and I unrolled those things. Did you know there's supposed to be a covered walkway between the front door and the little drop-off place here in the parking lot? That's in the blueprints. Never got built. Okay? By the way, out here in the front of the church where the white brick is that goes all the way up, do you remember what that was, Melissa? Stained glass. First few times we came here, that was all the stained glass that used to be on the windows, that was all stained glass from here all the way up to the top of the roof. And they decided that it let in so much sunlight in the summer it couldn't cool the building down. And then you think about all the heat that was going out, because that was just plexiglass is what it was. So they drywalled it on this side and bricked it up on the other side. So that wasn't, I hate to do this, but I'm going to see you later, okay? Okay, he's still alive. But anyway, the blueprints is what tells the builder this is how it's going to be built. In Jefferson County, Missouri, you cannot put up a barn or a shed without having a set of plans for it. They want a set of plans. They want to know how you do it. Probably because they knew how my dad built stuff. Okay? They said, we're going to have a set of plans. So Dad would always take a napkin from Hardee's and draw it out and say, here you go. So anyway, but you're in your body, in your DNA, is a set of blueprints on how that is to be built. The guy that designed it, the guy that designs a building, like the arch up here, Eero Saarinen, was the man who designed the Gateway Arch. He worked out all the specifications. He worked out all the engineering. He worked out how it was to be built, how it was to be connected together. He worked out how the workers were going to put all the pieces in place. And to me, it amazes me that they started on this thing. I don't know if you, this 630 feet tall and 600, I think it's as wide as it is tall. And when the guy laid this piece over here and this piece over here, they were in perfect alignment. Don't ask me to do something like that. I can't do it, okay? But that was in the blueprints. God is the one who drew up your blueprints. He said, this is how everything is going to work. And the more that science finds out about how the human body works and about all the little things that take place in your body without even your knowledge, it staggers my mind. Man would have never thought of anything like that, but God did. Your body is an incredible, incredible dwelling place. Somebody say amen. Okay? So, you got that part so far. So, in thy book, all my members were written would be similar to a set of blueprints. Doesn't just usually come with one sheet, especially if it's a very complex building. It comes in a book. Okay? You're talking about sheet after sheet after sheet of instructions on how the workers are to put everything together. I had the wrong thing up there and you guys didn't tell me. You're supposed to help me out now. That's a set of blueprints, by the way. Okay, moving right along. So, what this verse means is that in your body is a book. And that book, it's just like God's Word. Because God wrote it. God designed it. The builder and maker is God Almighty. Does everybody understand that? God followed His own set of plans. God made some of you short. God made some of you tall. God said, made some of you weak on the right hand. God made some of you weak on the left hand. God made some of you think math and science. God made some of you think flowers and colors. Everybody's just a little bit different. We're like snowflakes. Amen? They tell us not one snowflake is the same as another. And I can tell you, you look around, you might see people that you, there's a guy that works out at the Hillsboro School. I see him every time we have ball games out there. I swore in my mind that he was somebody I went to high school with. I looked at him and looked at him and looked at him. I said, that's him. When I went up to shake his hand one time, I said, are you so-and-so? And he said, no. Looked just like it. But there was differences. Once I got looking at him, there was differences. Everybody's different. So God keeps track of all that. But the design of how everybody is a book that God wrote. I cannot stress that enough. God wrote your book. He wrote your DNA. So, look at it like this. In thy book, all my members were written. Here's your fingers. God wrote out the genetic code of your fingers. You're going to have five of them on each hand. You're going to have three sections apiece on the fingers, two on the thumb. God even designed the fingerprints, which we know is specific to every human being. Nobody's fingerprint. No two fingerprints are alike. So God wrote out your hands. He wrote out your lips, your toes, your eyes, your smelly armpits. God wrote it all out in his book, and he wrote it the way that he wanted to write it. I'm stressing that for a reason. Let's take it, let's apply it in a different way. How about like this? In thy book, DNA, all my members were written. A family is a body, is it not? A husband and a wife and children. And then you can even get down into the area of the grandchildren and so on. But a family is a body. And I've said this before, but remember what we talked about. When one part of the body is suffering, the whole family is. Amen? If one of the children are sick, everything in that house pretty much revolves around that child that is sick. Mama's got to take care of that child. Daddy's got to help out with some things mama's doing and so on. And everybody is part of that one person in that household being sick. If one of them's happy, he's trying to make the whole house happy. Amen? And mama's just going, would you cut it out? Amen? Okay? But isn't that neat? In that book, all my members were written. Did you know, according to the Bible, that Adam was carrying you and I in his loins when he was created, when he sinned, when he was cast out of the garden? We were cast out with him because we were in his loins. You say, I don't believe that. The Bible tells you in Hebrews that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek while he was in Abraham. You go look it up. Abraham was the one who paid the tithes, but the Bible's telling you that Levi was in the loins of Abraham and paid tithes to Melchizedek. You go study Hebrews, you'll find that out. Abraham was carrying Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. He was carrying all of those people in his loins. Does that make sense? In one book that Abraham had, all of those members were already written. Okay? Which, in continuance, was fashioned. That is a fetus. This is what Planned Parenthood said is their big money maker. What makes me mad? That makes me mad. Planned Parenthood right now, I saw it this morning, they're running ads on television telling everybody how good they are, how wonderful they are. They're selling body parts for money, which is against the law, and a federal judge just ordered that Planned Parenthood did not do anything wrong, but the people who recorded the conversations are in big trouble, and they'll probably go to jail. Okay? Which in continuance was fashioned, that's the fetus, when as yet there was none of them. That's the embryo. On day one, you look like this right here, a little cell. But you have in you already the blueprints for everything that you are. Does everybody understand that so far? Okay, now we're going to move it along a little bit. Watch this. In thy book, the Holy Bible, all my members were written. A church is a body. Amen? A local congregation You have sort of two pictures. You have a local congregation, and then you have the entire body of Christ from old up until now, all over the world, those who are in Christ and are part of His body all throughout time, they represent the body of Jesus Christ. So in, watch this now, in thy book, have you ever heard this verse? Your name is written in the book of what? Book of life. Okay? My name is written in the book of life. Your name is written in the book of life. God wrote it in there. So, I don't think you ought to take anything out of the Bible. Specifically because I think God will work it out that the thing that you don't like in the Bible and you take out, that was probably where your name was going to go. Okay? I don't like that part. Take it out of the Bible. Is His name written? No. We took that out a long time ago. But I like this. All my members were written. We're here in Festus, Missouri, as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this place, out in the footprint of the rhinoceros, Kenya. They're meeting out there. There are probably several churches, several pastors out there. They've gathered together to watch us online. They also are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Here's what I like. Which in continuance was fashioned, because there's still people getting saved. Amen? And even though after you have been born, your body is still regenerating its members. Think about it. From the time of Pentecost, let's start there. From the time of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved then, and then church history has moved forward. The people who were saved at Pentecost, where are they now? They're dead. Their bodies are in the ground. Their soul is with the Lord, but their bodies are in the ground. So what happens? After they came along, God made new disciples and regenerated His body. You ever think of that? He's been regenerating His body this whole time. And so let's say John was the last apostle to die, somewhere around AD 95, 96, somewhere around in there. He died, but there was already men that he had trained and had trained under him that were carrying on the faith and preaching the gospel. God was regenerating the members of the body. To this day, ever since you was conceived in your mother's womb, your body has been regenerating cells that have died off. That's what they do. The whole thing that we ever learned about cells in school was they divide and make new ones. And then they divide and make new ones. And then at some point the old ones die, but then there's plenty of new ones to keep going. God's got it all under control. Amen? God knows who already is the body. God, and by the way, I'm going to stress this. When an old cell is ready to divide and make a new cell, same copy of the DNA that was in the old cell goes to the new cell. And if it doesn't, you've got a big problem. You're going to have cancer. You're going to have all kinds of things go bad. That thing may die because it doesn't have enough information to keep itself alive. There are all kinds of things that can happen. And there are all kinds of things that are happening right now. But the bottom line is, when the old cell makes a new cell, it gives them a copy of the whole book. And says, here you go. Here's the instructions for how we do this thing. And I believe that we should be a part of the faith that was held by our forefathers, handed down to us in an inheritance, handed down to us, and the faith that we have now should be the faith that our forefathers had, that the Apostle Paul had, that Peter had, that John had, that James had, that Jesus gave to them. Somebody say amen. The same faith and the same word is what does that. So right now, to this day, even though the old saints are dying off, new saints are being born again. Somebody say amen. It's going to continue on until perfection, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet, that's the day of Pentecost, there was none of them. On one day, the Holy Ghost comes down, gives all of those men a new life, and all of those people there in the upper room a new life, and then on that day, 3,000 people were saved. Amen. And by the way, When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when all of those people came to the Lord, what praise and worship songs were they singing? What movies were they talking about at the theater? What
What coffee shops did they have that they were all gathered in talking about how modern we are? My point is, on the day of Pentecost, what made the new disciples was the preaching of the Word of God. And if we're not preaching the Word of God, we're not going to see people really saved. Not truly saved. There are false converts and hypocrites everywhere. They abound everywhere. But if their DNA is different, we're not related. Okay? Keep that in mind. It's very, very important. All right? Now, God wrote the book, the blueprints. Man doesn't like parts of God's book. That's not some new thing either. Even in the days of Paul, Paul wrote, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." Already in Paul's day, men were looking at what Paul wrote, what Peter wrote, what John wrote. They were looking at those letters being passed around, and they didn't like them. They didn't like what they said. So what they did was, they started making their own copies and leaving out what they didn't like. So they would take things out like, I'll give you an example. 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Now who is that? That's Jesus. Everybody knows that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay. And by the way, think about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what was God, and the Word became flesh. That word that becomes flesh is your DNA, because that's what it turns into. It's what it makes, what it creates. It creates your flesh body. The Word became flesh. That's what it's supposed to do. It's DNA. Okay? So watch this. Okay? At the time, they didn't like, these people did not like the fact that Paul said that Jesus was God in the flesh. They didn't like it. John wrote, "If any man believed not or proclaimed not," or what, I can't remember the exact wording of the verse, "that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he is an antichrist." So these people didn't like that. So they set about to rewrite the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And when they got to that part about God was manifest in the flesh, they took the word theos out of the Greek text. Theos is God. That's where we get the word theology. They took the word theos out of the Greek text and just replaced it with a generic he. So in your NIV Bible, it does not say God was manifest in the flesh. It said he appeared in a body. They didn't like it, so they took it out. In 1 John, you'll see it. John is the only one, is the only guy in the Bible who mentioned the name Antichrist by name. He mentioned it five times. And he said, "If any man believed not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he is an antichrist." So they looked at that and they said, "We don't like that." So they took out the words "in the flesh." They omitted it. So now the NIV and all the other new translations read, "If any man does not believe that Jesus Christ is come, the same as an antichrist." They took it out and stitched it back together so that hopefully no one would notice. Okay? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? They looked at the blueprints, decided they didn't like things, and so they took them out. So when these guys started translating all these modern translations of the Bible, instead of using the same genetic line that the King James comes from, the Textus Receptus, the majority text, some 5,000 Greek manuscripts that agree with each other 97-98% of the time. And even in the 2% of the time where they don't agree, it's not missing words, it's words that are arranged in different ways. Okay? You're talking about a solid consistency of what the Bible says, because God swore that He would preserve His Word. He swore that He would. Okay? So instead of them using the same genetic line that our King James comes from, they went over to a different line. The Vaticanus manuscript is in the Vatican vaults. Nobody ever gets to see it. There's been photographs of it made, and scholars have translated from that. But there are errors and omissions in the Vaticanus Greek manuscript that underlies most modern translations of the Bible, including, I would say, parts of the Swahili Bible, that underlines that, that disagree with the Greek text of the King James in the thousands of times. Then there was another one called the Sinaiticus. It was found at a Catholic monastery in Mount Sinai, Egypt, the Sinai Peninsula there. A man was going through, his name was Tischendorf, in the 1800s, he was going through this monastery looking for old manuscripts. He found that one in the trash. The monk said, "This is no good, we're going to throw it away." And he pulled it out, literally pulled it out of the bin, out of the rubbish. And he said, "Ooh, this is a Greek manuscript, the New Testament." It was similar to the Vaticanus, but even those two disagreed hundreds of times. So two British scholars, Westcott and Hort, laid out the foundation of, since these manuscripts are older than most of the other Greek manuscripts that we have, we're going to say that they're probably closer to the original with no other evidence at all. We're just going to say these are the best ones. So even if you get a new translation of the Bible, and even if it has some of those things in there, you'll see a mark there, and they'll tell you to read down the bottom, and across the bottom it'll say the earliest and the best manuscripts do not have this word or phrase in there. You know what they're telling you? You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. And here's one of them. 1 John 5:7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And they will tell you, you'll find in, even in a new King James Bible, there'll be a little earmark on that passage. And you read the bottom of the page, and they'll say, "The earliest and best manuscripts do not have this in here." So you have our permission. If you don't want to believe this one, you don't have. They don't say that, but that's the implication. If you don't want to believe it, we're telling you, you don't have to. Okay? So they don't like what it says. So they take it out. Just like with blueprints. So what does man do? Man looks at if you've ever bought an old house and you say, "Well, I'm going to rehab it," there's probably things about the old house you like, things you don't. So what are you going to do? You're going to go and change some of them and rehab the rest of them. Things you don't like. Man is full of things that he doesn't like. Amen? Okay, so what does he do? He changes blueprints. So we have, here's an article called "The Gene Hackers." The word "hack" is a computer term. It goes all the way back into the 70s and early 80s. It was people who were breaking into computers, like at universities or banks or government computers. They were illegally breaking into these computers and either stealing the information or changing the information or whatever it is. That's where the word comes from, hackers. So now the modern term is a gene hacker. A gene hacker looks at the book of DNA. And it, see, this, I don't know why they don't get this. They can clearly see that DNA is arranged just like a book is. I don't care if they say, "Well, you know, I think it looks like Moby Dick," or "I think it looks like War and Peace," or whatever. It's arranged like a book. Clearly, someone did that. Some intelligence put that all together. But they look at it and they say, "There are things we don't like, so we're going to take what we don't like out. We're going to put in what we want." So, a powerful new technology enables us to manipulate our DNA more easily than ever before. We are living in the day of the transformation of the human species, because now they're able to rewrite DNA at their will. It's not hard anymore. They not only know how to do it, they're making the process quicker, easier, and less expensive every single day. You say, "I don't know if this will affect me." North Korea last night just shot up what everybody knows is an intercontinental ballistic missile. I don't know if you saw that on the news. They said, "We're putting a satellite in an orbit." And everybody at the Pentagon's going, "No, they're not. They're just testing an intercontinental ballistic missile." North Korea has nukes, by the way. What would keep North Korea and all the billions of dollars that they get in money from all over the world, because the Kim Jong-un of North Korea says, I'm going to blow South Korea and Tokyo off the map if you don't give me a bunch of money. And they give him a bunch of money. His granddaddy did it, his dad did it, and now he's doing it. That's how North Korea works, by the way. So North Korea, what's going to keep him from getting this technology and using it in a malicious way, an evil way? What's going to keep them from recreating human beings to be monsters, to be carriers of disease, to be super soldiers that almost cannot be killed? I'm telling you, the imagination of man is going to come up with all kinds of stuff to do with this technology. And nobody's going to be able to stop it. This is the age we live in right now. Here's another one. Geneticists are concerned transhumanists will use this editing technology of DNA on themselves. They're going to do it. Here's another one. First, genetically modified humans could exist within 2 years. China is already using it on embryos, human embryos. Great Britain just paved the way to start doing it in Britain. We're next. And even if America in the next 5 years does not pass a law that enables scientists to modify the human genome, even if America doesn't do it, all the other countries are already doing it. We'll just be the last ones. We'll be the ones sending money to Canada and Great Britain, China, and everybody else so that they can do it. And then I don't know where it's going to go from there. But you see what I'm saying? The moment you take something out of a human genetically, I'm not talking about a kidney transplant or blood or whatever. The moment you take something genetically out of a human and replace it with something else, that house ceases to be a house built by God. And it's built with the hands of man. Human-animal chimeras are gestating on U.S. research farms. You know what a chimera is? It's a human and an animal together. Or it is a combination of animals in one body. This was Greek mythology 3,000 years ago. Okay? But we're doing it. We're doing it right now. Grain is being grown in the United States of America that has been genetically modified, and it has other species of DNA in it, like human and certain animals. They have taken rice, genetically modified it so that it has human DNA in it, and they want you to eat it. I'm telling you, don't let them change your DNA. And if that sounds strange to you, let's wait 5 years. Because they're going to push it. They're going to promote it. And then all of a sudden, you're going to lose your health insurance. You're going to lose your life insurance. And they're going to cancel your car insurance and your house insurance. They're going to cancel everything you've got because you have a genetic trait that makes you more susceptible to some disease, and they won't cover it. And they're going to say to you, if you have this procedure, they're called a procedure. If you have this procedure done on you, then we'll give you the health insurance, we'll give you the life insurance, we'll cover you. And that procedure is going to involve changing your DNA. You think that they're going to start persecuting people who refuse? Get in line. Okay? Get in line. Don't worry about it. I got a house, not made with hands. Amen?